Welcome back to another episode of the Jacob Johnston Show. I know I'm not producing nearly the amount of content that I have in previous years. It's just 2022 has been super crazy. I feel like I'm running around like a chicken with its head cut off. But I promise you, I am not ending the show. It is going to continue, and I would say probably in a few months, I will get back to producing content on a regular basis. So for those of you who have stuck around watching the show as they are produced, thank you so much. Your dedication to the show is greatly appreciated. All right, so let's go ahead and dive on into the show. And I'm going to start off with a couple of articles from a couple weeks back. And then I'm going to dive into the meat and potatoes of the episode, which is the Democrats going full authoritarian, trying to engage in gun control. All right, so let's go ahead and get into the first article. So a couple of weeks ago now, Joe Biden did his trip overseas, where he said the quiet part out loud, that the rapid increase in gas prices, and I could say the overall inflation of the economy, the financial pain that we are all suffering under during his administration, is on purpose. It is a direct result of his policies. Now, the article reads here that Joe Biden faced backlash for remarks that he made during a trip overseas when he was asked about the erroneously high gas prices that Americans are facing at the pump. The reporter noted that Americans are also dealing with record high inflation that the Fed has tried to tame by raising interest rates. Joe Biden's response, here's the situation. And when it comes to the gas prices, we're going through an incredible transformation or transition that is taking place that, God willing, when it's over, will be stronger and the world will be stronger and less reliant on fossil fuels when this is over. So it's on purpose. Everything that we are suffering, inflation, rapid high gas prices, it's all part of the Green New Deal that Joe Biden has been implementing since he took office. Now, I don't get where he's getting any authority to implement the Green New Deal, but he's doing it anyways. The Democrats don't seem to be restrained by the Constitution, the laws, or anything. They don't care how much you suffer. It is all on purpose for their Green New Deal based off of their delusions of man-made climate change. They've been trying to pursue climate change for decades. Not only have they not been able to prove that fossil fuels are causing climate change, they haven't even been able to prove or provide a correlation between the two. If you look at the data, there is no correlation. There is no scenario in which they could say for every X amount of fossil fuels that are burned or CO2 emissions into the atmosphere, the climate changes by Y. They can't provide any of that because they know that it's not fossil fuels. But by being able to make that claim, they are able to justify stripping us of our rights and being able to attack us all in the name of saving the world. Yes, all in the name of saving the world. And we're just supposed to roll over and take it when really it's about keeping us peasants down and only the rich elite should enjoy any comfort, and the rest of us only exist to serve them. So remember this when you come in to the election this November, that all of the financial pains, whether that be the rapid high gas prices, inflation, and even the shortage of baby formula, it is intentional. It's being done by the Democrats. But also, as we take a look through the primary season, understand that this is why you should vote for any primary challenger to incumbent Republicans. Now, why do I say that, you may ask? Well, I say this very simply for this reason. Because many of the incumbents that are out there knowingly voted to certify a fraudulent election. They know that Joe Biden is not the constitutionally legitimate president of the United States. And they went off to knowingly certify a fraudulent election. And what is the excuse they give for it? January 6th, the false flag operation. And we know it was a false flag operation. So vote for any primary challenger to a Republican who voted to certify a fraudulent election. Because this crap is intentional. It's designed to inflict as much pain and suffering on the American people. Why? So the government can come in and claim that they have the solution, but we must be willing to surrender more of our rights and freedoms in order to accomplish it, which is a theme when it comes to the authoritarians. They inflict as much pain and suffering as possible and then claim that they have the solution if only we're willing to surrender more rights and freedoms. Do not fall for it. All right, moving on. So, in the next article here, Republicans are now claiming that if they take control, they will target public health bureaucrats when in majority. All right, so Republicans plan on holding public hearings on health bureaucrats such as Dr. Anthony Fauci and hold them accountable after the 2022 midterms, according to Republican Study Committee memo on Monday. While many of the left's COVID-19 policies went unchallenged, public health authorities soon started issuing nonsensical, contradictory directives and embracing partisan rhetorics. If Congress fails to hold the Fauci clique accountable and fails to reform public health agencies, we will be giving far-left bureaucrats a blank check to shut the country down whenever they want. Okay, so there's a couple of things that I have problems with as it relates to this article. First off, this is not your number one priority. It is not, Republicans. This is not your number one priority. Your number one priority is impeachment hearings. That's right, impeachment hearings is your number one priority. Joe Biden has committed numerous crimes, both trying to get into office and since he's been into office. He is engaged in open and active treason. So I would say impeachment is your first priority. Then holding public health bureaucrats accountable is your secondary priority. I mean, these public health bureaucrats are only taking their directives from Democrats, such as Joe Biden. So this is all designed as by the Republicans as, sadly, an excuse not to do anything that needs to be done, you know, or to avoid the big major issues as they're afraid of the media that celebrated fraudulent, baseless impeachment hearings against Trump and promoted, you know, the Russia collusion hoax for years, bashing any Republican who would speak out against the hoax. And now Republicans, too afraid to go after Joe Biden because of the media, too afraid of impeachment, despite the fact that the Democrats had no problems going in a baseless impeachment, but the Republicans are too afraid of going after legitimate impeachment hearings because of the media. And this whole hearing that they are trying to set up is designed to distract. So you're going to be cheering on as they say they're going to hold them accountable. But in the end, nothing's going to be accomplished, is it? We already know how this is going to play out. This is going to play out where we're all distracted. We get a few viral, you know, YouTube videos, some good moments, you know, so-and-so crushes Fauci or whatever. And in the end, what happens? Well, considering that for public health officials, the, you know, Congress, you know, the House and the Senate, they can't fire any of the public health officials. They can't arrest and prosecute them for any of their crimes. No, they're going to hold the hearings, have good sound clips, then refer it over to the DOJ, who's going to promptly do nothing with it. So it's pointless to go after these public officials and put a spotlight on them because nothing's going to happen. They're not going to face any consequences. The DOJ is not going to prosecute them. It's just going to be a massive waste of time. And while you're going off and cheering on, thinking that something's going to happen, you're being distracted away from the number one thing that needs to happen, which is impeachment. So I don't get the point of these hearings. If nothing is going to happen whatsoever, then what's the point? You know, what they need to do is impeach Biden and Harris. Then, as the Republicans take control of the White House, then they can hold these hearings, because then something actually has a chance of resulting from the hearings. I'm not a big fan of pointless hearings, which we already know the result is nothing's going to come of it. Not that, you know, we're not going to get some great insight. Not that we're going to, not that corruption isn't going to be exposed, but I mean, nothing's going to come of it, as in no one's going to be held accountable or face any consequences as a result. So instead of cheering on, maybe we should be going off and saying, hey, that's good political theater, but let's actually focus on stuff that will actually get results. Stuff that can actually be implemented. Just a thought. All right, now let's go ahead and get in to the core of this episode. So I'm going to start off this conversation on gun control, talking about this incident that happened in a New York subway, where a passenger was going around the train and, you know, while dressed in a poorly fitted white hoodie, storming through the subway cars as other riders attempted to avoid him or her, the passenger abruptly sat down next to a woman and who tries to get up and leave, but the passenger grabbed her hair and yanked her back to her seat. And nobody did anything. And even as she asked for help, no one would help her. Now, I understand that the passengers are getting a lot of flack for this, but let's also understand that this is in New York City with very strict gun control, which gun control only affects the law-abiding. So if you see someone going around a subway car like this, acting the way they are, chances are they have a criminal history. And as a result, they're likely to be armed, but the onlookers are not. And so we can try and say that this was cowardice and say what we would have done, but we got to put ourselves in their situation. I mean, I can talk about what I would have done, but I'm in a state in which I am able to get and carry my gun. So I can be armed and have the ability to protect myself. But in New York, not so much. And so since criminals can get guns no matter what the laws are, because guns will flow across the border as easily as drugs do and as easily as every other illegal product does, because we're not going to secure our borders, which the Democrats also don't understand. They want to implement gun control, but they don't want to do anything to secure the border to prevent guns from coming across the border into the hands of criminals. But also, criminals can get guns because they can just make them themselves. You got CNC machines, you know, and they're calling it a ghost gunner, in which you can have in your garage. It's probably no bigger than a regular computer monitor, but you can buy bigger sizes for bigger guns. You can just take a regular hunk of metal, set it in there, pick out what gun you want from the open source programming that is available, and it will make the gun for you in your own garage. And so criminals will just be able to make guns in their own garages or just buy them from the Mexican cartels south of the border, who are able to get the guns across the border because there is no border enforcement. And so the onlookers realize that they're disarmed. They have no ability to protect themselves. And if they take action, this person who is as a criminal is likely to be armed, pulls a gun, they have no ability to defend themselves and they're going to die. Right? Now, if everyone on the subway car had the right to self-defense instead of having that right unconstitutionally taken away from them by the Democrats in New York, they would have been able to step up because they would have had the ability that if this criminal pulled out a gun to defend themselves. And see, gun control only affects the law abiding. And criminals love gun control because it means that they can be reasonably assured that those they intend to victimize are going to be unarmed and helpless, which is why you see in areas of the country that have the strictest gun control laws, the most unconstitutional gun control laws, like Chicago, New York, California. You name the liberal state that has restrictive gun control laws, and you see high gun crimes. And yet, if you take a look at states that have, you know, constitutional carry, everyone has a right to carry a gun, you see very low gun crime. Why? Because criminals look around and see, well, shoot, chances are a lot of these people are armed, and if I attack, they're going to kill me. So they don't attack. It's only in these states, you know, like Texas, only in areas of those states in which they have made gun-free zones, you know, little pockets of helpless victims, do any criminals try to attack with a gun. And when it comes to mass shooting situations, I would say that part of the problem here is the fact that some of the leftists out there think that they're going to be a hero if they commit a crime so heinous as to cause the repeal of the Second Amendment. Now, let's be real here. As we take a look at gun control and the recent wave of mass shootings, Democrats love mass shootings because they're able to use it as an excuse to try and take away our constitutional rights and implement their authoritarian regime. I mean, think about this. We have Obama, when he was in office, mass shootings happening at a fairly regular basis and constantly talking about repealing the Second Amendment, you know, gun control, violating the Constitution to take away our rights. Trump gets into office, mass shootings virtually disappear. Biden gets into office talking about wanting to restrict gun rights and take away our Second Amendment rights to a gun, and suddenly mass shootings start happening again. I wonder if there's a correlation. And so when we see this, we can see that Democrats, they don't care about doing anything that will actually protect the kids, because nothing that they are suggesting would actually protect the kids, because they're still leaving the kids as defenseless victims, and criminals will still be able to get their hands on guns. And so what may motivate some of the mass shootings, not all of them, but some of them, is the idea that they're going to be considered heroes, that their actions are going to be the one that causes the repeal of the Second Amendment, you know, to disarm the population so that there is no opposition to the Democrats' authoritarian control. That makes sense. That is part of the motivation. But there is also another reason for the mass shootings, and that is the Democrat Party themselves. Think about how they're talking. Think about what they're implementing in school with critical race theory, trying to teach kids to hate each other, that anybody who disagrees with them on anything is an existential threat, seeks to erase their existence, wants to enslave them, oppressor and oppressed. Lack of tolerance for anybody with a different idea. And you take that and you drill that into a kid from preschool all the way up to high school, right? Constantly putting them in a state of fear that everyone that they go to school with is looking to victimize them. And you're going to get a few people that are going to crack, especially those that are on the edge of the social structures of the high school that are not very popular, that are not part of the in crowd, and they see themselves as more at risk than anybody else in that school from that constant messaging, and they crack and they shoot up the schools. So you got that in combination with those who think that they're going to be the hero that causes the repeal of gun control, or I mean the repeal of the Second Amendment. And so it's no wonder that when the Democrats are in power, you see more gun violence directed at gun-free zones. And the Democrats, they don't care about the children. They only care about being able to use them to implement their authoritarian agenda. And so as we take a look here, Biden pushing Congress to ban assault weapons. Now let's take a moment here and think about that. Assault weapons. Every weapon is an assault weapon. If you can use it to attack someone, it's an assault weapon. A bat used to attack someone is an assault weapon. Anyways, Biden calls on Congress to ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines in a primetime address to the nation. We need to ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. And if we can't, we should raise the minimum age from 18 to 21, strengthen background checks, and repeal immunities that protect gun manufacturers from liability. Okay, so there's a couple of things here that need to be addressed, besides the fact that every weapon is an assault weapon. One, raising the age from 18 to 21 has already been struck down as unconstitutional, surprisingly, by a court in California. So he's advocating for actions that have already been deemed unconstitutional. Now, when he's going through and talking about high-capacity magazine, he's trying to take away our right to defend ourselves. Background checks are only good so long as the background information is up to date and accurate. We've seen situations where people who had no ability to get a gun because the background wasn't actually updated with the information that would have prohibited them from being able to buy a gun. Now, the immunity. Now, here's where the Democrats go off and just make crap up. Immunities for gun manufacturers from liability. This is the same made-up bull crap, such as the left's claim of trickle-down economics, which there is no such theory of economics. This is the same as the Democrats, you know, pick your subject. They just make it up whole cloth. There is no immunity. See, with companies and corporations, if they make a product and the product has a defect, you know, that causes harm when used as intended, yes, they are liable for that. But when they make a product and that product is used in a manner not intended for, or used in a manner that is illegal, that company is not liable. And so what they're saying is that the fact that we're not holding companies liable for the criminal and unlawful use of their products, well, that's somehow a special immunity? No, it's not. No company is liable for the illegal use of their products. But what the Democrats are trying to do is, you know, convince you of this falsehood that there is some special immunity, so that they can then say that anybody who uses your product illegally, you're held liable for that, is because if they can't eliminate the Second Amendment, then, you know, outright through gun control laws, then what they're going to do is bankrupt all gun manufacturers, and then they're going to be able to get their gun ban in de facto simply by the reason that you cannot buy a gun because no one's making them for you. This is just a backdoor ban or repeal of the Second Amendment that they are trying to push for. Now, we all recognize what the purpose of the Second Amendment is for. It's not for hunting, right? It's for protection. Protection against criminals in our society, which the Democrats have proven that, you know, when the criminals are on the march, like they did during COVID, where they released a bunch of criminals and then said, the police aren't going to be there to protect you. We need that protection. Two, for an invasion. Now, you can say we have never been invaded, but we have never been invaded because we're all armed. There's more guns than people. But the third and most important reason that the founding fathers created the Second Amendment was protection from the government. Having the ability that when the government would go authoritarian, which is the nature of all government, that we would have the ability to rise up and protect ourselves. That's right. The point of the Second Amendment is to is so that we have the ability to protect ourselves from people like Joe Biden, from people like the Democrat Party, taking control of government and turning it against the people. And now the Democrats don't care about the Constitution. They have made that abundantly clear. If we go through and take a look at the next section here, you know, we need to ban assault weapons and high capacity magazines. And if we can't, we should raise the purchase age from 18 to 21, strengthen background checks, protect gun repeal immunities. I mean, here is a blue checkmark idiot on Twitter just repeating the same crap Biden is saying. Now, yes, I get it in quotation marks, but they're trying to push, again, this misinformation, this complete bullcrap that there is some special law protecting gun manufacturers from liability. There isn't. But if we go on to the next section here, Representative Mondaire Jones, I think I'm pronouncing that right, he goes off and he states, "You will not stop us from passing gun control." Okay, so he's making it very clear that the Constitution be damned. If the filibuster obstructs us, we will abolish it. If the Supreme Court objects, we will expand. We will not rest until we have taken weapons of war out of our community. Okay, so every weapon is and can be a weapon of war. But let's take a look at this. The Second Amendment was there to be able to protect us from authoritarians taking over the government and turning the government against we the people. And what are the Democrats saying? We're going to strip you of your Second Amendment rights. The Constitution be damned. You try to, uphold the Constitution, we will eliminate any obstacles in the legislative branch that would prevent us from violating the Constitution. If the courts object, we're going to pack the courts with a bunch of activists who will abuse their positions on the courts to make rulings in violation of the Constitution, to purposely violate the Constitution. And they say this as they try to tell us that none of our constitutional rights are absolute. Yes, they are. That's the point of having them in the Constitution, saying that you shall not infringe this is an absolution, that is our right. But the Democrats don't care. They're letting it be known that they are going to eliminate our Second Amendment. They're going to try and ram it through unconstitutionally through the legislature. And any objection, they're just going to pack the courts. That is their solution. And think about this. They're saying this, that they are willfully going to violate the Constitution and pack the courts to rubber stamp their stripping us of our constitutional rights. And they're doing this at a time when, let's see here, in 2020, the Democrats went on a rampage of domestic terrorism, burning down every city and telling us that, hey, we're not going to stop terrorizing and burning down communities until you give us what we want in the election. We see this at a time when the Department of Justice is labeling parents as terrorists if they speak out at public school board meetings, upset over the political and sexual grooming of their children, about the pornographic content that is being pumped into their school libraries. We're seeing this at a time when the FBI has been proven to be weaponized against the people to target the political opponents of the Democrats baselessly. At a time when the FBI has been proven to knowingly be using false information to be manufacturing fake evidence and lying to the courts in order to try and overthrow a democratically elected president of the United States, Donald Trump. Going as far as to a special counsel probe. At a time when the Democrats tried to go through impeachment with absolutely no basis, No crime, no evidence of a crime. We see this at a time when the IRS has been used to target political opponents and citizens. And then they're taking all of that and saying, we're going to disarm you. We're going to strip you of your Second Amendment rights. And we don't care what the Constitution says, because we'll pack the courts that will rubber stamp our illegal and unconstitutional acts. And this is their pitch for trying to repeal the Second Amendment, whose sole purpose is for us to protect ourselves from an authoritarian government. You understand that the Democrats' entire argument to try and implement gun control is nothing more than the perfect reason for why the Second Amendment exists. You know, as they go through and talk about how they're going to take steps to disarm us, is why the Second Amendment exists, to stop exactly what it is they're trying to do. You know, it's very frustrating when taking a look at the Democrats, because they have abandoned all sense of the constitutional republic, all sense of democracy, all sense of the Constitution itself. They don't care. They're on an authoritarian rampage. And throughout history, every time a population has been disarmed, they have been oppressed by an authoritarian government that kills millions of their own citizens. We see in places like Canada, the authoritarian march, where Justin Trudeau, that complete and total tyrant, is now saying that, you know, he's implementing a gun ban. He's calling it a gun freeze, at a time when he arrests his own citizens if they dare speak out against government policies in this country of Canada, where he was freezing bank accounts and arresting truckers for driving across the country in protest of lockdowns, in protest of shutting down the economy. You know, he's gone full authoritarianism in Canada, of all places. So we know history has taught us that gun control is bad because it's only sought after by authoritarians with murderous intent. We see the authoritarian march all over the place. And the Democrats' pitch for us to surrender our weapons is they're going to completely violate all of our rights and the Constitution if we don't. Interesting. I would say right now, if anybody watching, we should immediately, you know, go ahead, feel free to pause the video and go out and buy as many guns as you can afford, because you're going to need it with the way the Democrats are going. It is just utterly sickening how the Democrats are acting and behaving. And they've given us every reason to not trust them. Meanwhile, the Republicans actually have solutions, constitutional and legal solutions. Like, hey, how about we stop making schools gun-free zones so that people have the ability to protect themselves, like teachers being able to have access to guns. You know, it's interesting when we take a look at the history of the United States, right? There was a time when kids in high school would go to school, they would drive their trucks and cars to school, and they would have their guns in their vehicles, and they didn't have school shootings, even though people brought guns to schools. Why? Because any school shooter knew that if they attempted anything, there was other students who had access to guns to stop them. We had a time where, you know, the schools would actually hand the kids a loaded gun during gym class. I know when I was in high school, we had hunter safety courses in gym class where the teachers handed us a loaded gun and we shot clay pigeons. There wasn't any threat or any fear about doing so. But now, when people try to go and shoot up a school, they know that the people there are defenseless. You know, what has changed? What has changed in society where now gun violence and school shootings are becoming more prevalent? than in any previous generation. Because guns have been around for a while. You used to be able to go to the Sears catalog and buy guns. And as far as weapons of war go, you know, claiming that these are weapons of war, any gun is a weapon of war. Right? Any gun whatsoever. But you take a look at it, and you can see where in past generations, people were able to just open up the Sears catalog, see the gun, order it, and have it mailed to them. And yet we didn't have all this gun violence. You know, and gun violence is mostly located in Democrat-controlled areas with strict gun control laws, or in a few pockets where there is gun-free zones in red states. Right? But what has changed? Guns have been around for a long time, but the gun violence hasn't. So it's not the guns that are the problem. It's the people. It's the people committing the crimes. And you got to wonder what's changed. Well, maybe it's the trying to teach people to hate each other based off of their skin color, oppressor, oppressed. Maybe it's constantly from preschool all the way up to high school, putting them in kids in a constant state of fear that anybody who even so much as disagrees with them on anything is a potential threat. That's what we're taking a look at. We have solutions. First, stop teaching people to hate each other. Start promoting tolerance of different opinions. Right? And stop thinking of violence as a political tool to be able to get what you want. That may be part of the solution. Now, what are Democrats trying to say as part of their common sense gun control under the Protecting Our Kids Act? You know, the authoritarians always using flowery language, you understand that, you know, whether it's the Protecting Our Kids Act or you go all the way back to Hitler, Mao Zedong, every time they have tried to disarm the population, they have always said it's for their own good. They always say it's for the betterment of society, protecting the people. It's none of that. But what is actually in that? They want to, you know, raise the minimum age, they want to ban high-capacity magazine, but boom, here at the last sentence here, and the article is Democrats facing tough election sound-off ahead of House hearing on gun control measures, reported by Fox News, but they want to establish a registry for bump stocks and more. Yes, they want to create a gun registry where everyone who owns a gun must be put on a list. When has that ever turned out well for any country? When has that ever turned out well? They want to create a registry list so when they make their move, they know exactly which homes and people to go to confiscate their guns, to disarm the population and remove any obstacle to their authoritarian control. And of course, Democrats continue to lie, right? Such as Democrat Elaine Lurie, I have always been a supporter of bipartisan common sense reform to protect Americans. Okay, they're what they claim is common sense reform is anything but common sense. And I'll continue to support solutions to keep our children, churches, and communities safe from gun violence. Except for you go off and you obstruct or you oppose anything that would actually be effective. All you're trying, the only thing you will support is creating defenseless victims. Now, the manufacturers of new machine guns has been illegal in the United States for decades, yet bump stocks and similar devices to augment firing capacity circumnavigate the law to produce fully automatic weapons like the one used on the 1st of October's mass shooting in Las Vegas. Okay, so here's the thing. They're trying to justify one unconstitutional law, or they're trying to use one unconstitutional law to justify more unconstitutional laws. And this gets to another point. Once you allow the Democrats to start chipping away at your rights, they never stop. They go, well, we've already done this and it's been declared constitutional and this is very similar, so we should be able to do this as well. And they keep chipping away until you have no rights. The ban on machine guns is unconstitutional. And they're trying to justify, you know, a court precedent that has, well, upheld unconstitutional laws as justification for it. As trying to say that, you know, this suddenly makes it constitutional. No, it only goes off to show that, hey, we've already made a concession on the Second Amendment and allowed you to keep an unconstitutional law in the books. And now you're coming back to take away more and more of our Second Amendment rights. No amount of surrendering the Second Amendment rights will be enough until we have no Second Amendment rights. And by the way, just because one corrupt judge rules something constitutional doesn't make it so. I mean, if that was the case, there would be no appeals court because there would be no need for an appeal because that judge ruled. Right? Or you could take a look at other judges throughout history that made an unconstitutional ruling that was later repealed by another judge. Whether that was rulings made about slavery, whether that was rulings, pick your topic, right? If we had said that just because one judge ruled, that's the final straw, there would be so much that, you know, throughout history that would still be in place, you know, from slavery. And now we're seeing that the abortion is about to be repealed, you know, as well. You know, so, you know, I don't care what some corrupt judge that violated their oath of office and put politics above the Constitution had to say. We actually do have rights to own machine guns under the Second Amendment. Joe Biden tried to go out there and say that, you know, when the Second Amendment was passed, people couldn't own cannons. Yes, they could. We have actual writings from the Founding Fathers and the authors of the Second Amendment saying, yeah, it does mean you can own a cannon. Now, the first gun control law that was ever passed actually was a law that required everyone own a gun. Now, machine guns, as far as weapons, are actually pretty impractical. All they do is waste a bunch of bullets. You know, so, I mean, we can say that, you know, sure, we gave that up because, you know, it's actually a very ineffective weapon. But in all honesty here, they're trying to justify one an unconstitutional act by citing previous unconstitutional acts, which only bolsters why we need the Second Amendment. Right, now they want to go off and talk about firing capacities like bump stocks. You know, you could get the same effect without a bump stock. Right? It's just a trigger effect. It just makes, you know, easier to do, sure, but you can easily get it the same effect without any modifications to the gun. And they keep calling things loopholes. Loopholes. I mean, think about this right here. You know, closing the Bump Stock Loophole Act will permanently subject these dangerous devices to strict regulations under the National Firearms Act. You notice how, you know, what they call a loophole is never a loophole. You know, they just do these focus group tested phrases, but expect you to never actually look into it to see if those phrases make sense in any way, shape, or form. It's really quite disgusting what it is that the Democrats do and how they try to justify their illegal acts. Now, as we go through and we've talked about gun control and we have gone through and we have talked about all the things the Democrats have done, from attacking our cities and letting us know that the terrorism won't stop unless they get their election outcome, to turning the government on us, we have even more reasons why the repeal of the Second Amendment or the passage of unconstitutional gun control laws is a really horrible idea. So as we can see here, the Biden administration is going to try and tie federal education funding to LGBT mandates. Now, what is important here is how they intend to do that, which is by reinterpreting the laws. An upcoming Biden administration rule change, as the article from Just the News, new Biden administration rule change ties federal education funding to LGBT mandates, will tie billions of dollars of federal education funding to an array of LGBT policies, forcing school districts, universities to implement controversial rules on issues like transgender athletes in order to receive federal funding. As a result of state and local agency program operators and sponsors that receive funds from FNS must investigate allegations of discrimination based off gender identity or sexual orientation, USDA said in a statement. Those organizations must also update their non-discrimination policies and signage to include prohibition against discrimination based off gender identity. This means that schools around the country will be forced to comply with a range of pro-transgender policies and things like sports, housing, locker rooms, and bathrooms. Okay, so he's going off and now he's trying to enforce, saying, hey, in order to get education funding, you must engage in sexual grooming of children. You must engage in promoting left-wing ideologies in the schools. You must politically indoctrinate the kids to Democrat policies or we're pulling the funding. And how are they going through this? Well, Title IX. They're reimagining or reinterpreting Title IX. And this gets to another part about authoritarianism. Biden is assuming legislative authority. And this is something we have seen prior Democrat administrations do, where they just redefine words. You know, they update the dictionary, and now that the dictionary is updated, hey, this law now fits what we want it to do. Or we're going to reinterpret the law. Now, the reinterpretation of the law is done in a manner that actually violates the law or in a manner that has nothing to do with the law. But they seek that if they can just redefine the dictionary and reinterpret laws, they get legislative authority. Or if they just call things regulations, then they can circumvent Congress, and the Democrat president is now a full-on dictator with legislative authority. And the fact that they willfully violate the laws the way they are and now are trying to make schools the biggest threat to our children. I mean, we have situations where schools are now cutting parents out of medical decisions and secretly putting kids on puberty blockers. The schools are, and a lot of institutions that were originally designed to be areas of protection, safe havens, or have become the biggest threat to our children. And as the Biden administration is now going off and violating the Constitution yet again to implement new laws and rewriting the laws, they want us to agree to surrender our weapons, in addition to the fact that they have turned the government on the people and the fact that they are now going after, you know, a parent as terrorists and their use of violence to try and get what they want. And now they're trying to force the schools to become full-on indoctrination camps like Hitler Youth camps or the Hitler Youth program. Sickening. They know no bounds. They are full-on authoritarians. End of story. Period. Now, what Biden is doing is wholeheartedly illegal and unconstitutional because he is trying to assume legislative authority. Are the Republicans going to do anything if they take control in 2022? Are they going to start going through impeachment hearings? Or are they going to avoid impeachment and try and distract us with a pointless hearing on public health officials that will end nowhere, that will go nowhere, with no one being held accountable for anything? We all know the answer to that question. Okay. Then we're going to go off here and talk about, oh, Project Veritas, even more. So the FBI has been targeting Project Veritas, even though that they, and this is according to the Epoch Times, and if you're listening to the audio, I know I'm not really saying the articles of the stories that I am going off of, but you can always watch the show on Rumble if you want to be able to see the articles themselves. So the FBI initially admitted that Project Veritas is a media outlet and then decided, no, they're not. We want to target them and we want to be able to, you know, suppress any information about the Biden administration. You know, all of this resulted from the diary of Biden, whether it's Biden's daughter or granddaughter, you know, I forget. But, you know, the Project Veritas received a diary. They didn't report on it, and they sought to turn it over voluntarily before anyone knew that they had it. And now they're being attacked by the FBI because some pages have leaked, and it's very damning, and it exposes the criminal actions of Biden and his family. But now the FBI is trying to say, no, you're not a media outlet. You're not journalists in any way, shape, or form. And so we're going to try and target you and shut you down because you have a capacity to expose corruption of the Democrat Party. And part of what they are trying to claim is that Project Veritas is not engaged in journalism within any traditional or accepted definition of the word. Really? Really? Is that what you're saying? You know, this is where the Democrats are trying to redefine what journalism is, because in all actuality, Project Veritas is one of the few outlets that is actually engaged in the traditional forms of journalism, or one of the few outlets that are actually engaged in journalism as it is defined, both legally and dictionarily. Now, I know the left will try and rewrite the dictionary, but nothing that the U.S. prosecutors are claiming in order to attack Project Veritas has any bearings on reality or the truth. They're just making it up. They're just saying, no, journalism is only what we think it should be, not what it has been traditionally, or not how it's been defined throughout the history of the United States. No. We don't think that's journalism anymore because it exposes too much corruption. So we're going to just claim that they're not journalists. And then we're going to use the FBI in order to target them and suppress their ability to expose corruption. Again, this in the context of them trying to disarm the American people, trying to full-on violate the Second Amendment, while we have yet another example of the left using government to target the population, to target their political opponents. All we see is a mountain of evidence as to why we should never surrender our Second Amendment rights. Okay, moving on here, we also have more updates about reasons why we should never surrender our Second Amendment rights. Maricopa County counted 19,000 late individual ballots in the 2020 election. So I'm going to break this down for you real quickly. Basically, what it says is, hey, after the election was already over, 19,000 new ballots showed up, and which was twice the amount of ballots by which the Biden claims to have won Arizona by. Okay, so we keep finding more and more evidence of how fraudulent the 2020 election was. We have seen this, 120% of the population in some areas having voted. We see the elections being held in complete violation of the laws. We have seen where, the 2000 mules, a ballot box stuffing. We saw on election day, the Democrats violating court orders, ejecting people from the polls, for the poll watchers. We have seen, constant drip of evidence that Joe Biden was not legitimate winner of the 2020 election, that it was all fraudulent. And we get these drips, and we see this all the time when it comes to massive scandals from the Democrat Party, where first the media denies all existence, of any such corruption. Then we get the drip, right? And then we get the whole, with each drip, but that doesn't really mean anything. That instance doesn't necessarily mean that there was an overarching, conspiracy, or that there was an overarching intent to do something. Just a few bad actors on, at the lower levels. And we get this drip, slowly. And then at the very end, when we get all the smoking guns and we can prove malicious intent, what happens? Oh, that's old news. Move along. That's old news. There's nothing that can be done about it. And in this situation, we see where democracy itself has been overthrown and suspended. We see that the legitimate government of the United States has been overthrown. And we're getting this drip, and we're coming up on the midterms. And so now we're thinking, well, okay, no reason for us to actually do anything about it. We'll just vote Republicans, and with the expectation that they'll impeach and remove Biden, who is not the constitutionally legitimate president anyways. And then, that will come about, and in 2023, the Republicans will take office, and then they won't do anything with impeachment, because we know that they're going to do the grandstanding on the public health officials. That is going to go nowhere, because we know the Department of Justice will never do anything to hold those public health officials accountable for anything. So, right now, this only fuels or serves to fuel our need to protect our Second Amendment rights, seeing everything that the Democrats have done. We know that the Republicans don't have the backbone to actually defend the Constitution in Washington and impeach this fraud in the White House. Sad, but that's where we are. And that means we all need to make decisions. I mean, if it wasn't for the internet and Netflix and video games and so forth, if this was 40 years ago and all of this was happening, people would have already exercised their Second Amendment rights and taken care of this. But we have become complacent. We've stopped paying attention. We have all these distractions that we've become too complacent, and they've been able to do far more damage in overthrowing the Constitutional Republic than what could have ever been gotten away with just 40 years ago. That's a sad indictment on the American people. And so I guess I got to ask, as we take a look at these articles such as this, and this is a big question here, if we're never actually intending to exercise our Second Amendment rights, then is there a point to defending it? I mean, we're going to defend a right that we never intend to exercise for its intended use? Is that where we're going? I mean, I've gone through and shown why the Second Amendment is important, but if we're never going to exercise the Second Amendment for its intended use in defense of the Constitution, then it's pointless to have a right that we never exercise. Just a little thought there. Okay. And then finally, Democrats voting in GOP primaries. Here is the next election fraud that the Democrats plan on engaging in. So they used COVID as an excuse for the most fraudulent election ever witnessed, but they're not going to have COVID as an excuse going forward. So they have a new plan, which makes me wonder if they listen to this show. And that is, Democrats are registering to vote in GOP primaries so that the Democrats can determine who our nominees are. And so they're going to vote for the most liberal Republican that they can find in each primary and push them, so that basically all we have is leftists and far leftists. You know, leftists claiming to be Republicans and far left radical extremists. And so we already have situations where in Georgia, Democrats, you know, went off and voted in the Republican primaries in order to block Trump nominees, in order to block those who have been endorsed by Trump. And the Democrats want to be able to go off and do this in the 2024 presidential race, where if Trump, you know, runs for president in 2024, the Democrats are all going to flood in to the Republican primaries to try and block Trump from the nomination. So when you start seeing record number of people registering as Republicans in this election cycle, that's not necessarily a good indication. That's the Democrats' plan in order to stop Trump and make sure that we don't get a strong conservative or anybody with any conservative values whatsoever, that we're going to get a John Kasich type nominee. Now, I had stated, last year, that we should be doing this to the Democrats. You know, that we push forth the biggest extremist kook through the primaries that has no chance of being elected in the general election. So I have to wonder, did the left watch my show and get their idea from me? And if that's the case, hey, you know, we should be doing that to the Democrats. Or if we can find a sane Democrat pushing them through, or my best idea is that we should have Republicans run in the Democrat primary and then have Republicans register as Democrats to vote for the Republican candidates operating as Democrats, so that all we have is Republican and Republican as an option in the general election. I still say that's the best idea. Get Republicans, you know, to run in the primaries as Democrats, and then have a bunch of Republicans vote in the Democrat primaries for the Republican candidate operating as a Democrat or are running as a Democrat, and therefore we cannot lose. But we see here, you know, I had stated that, you know, jokingly last year. And now we see that that's part of what the Democrats plan on doing in this election cycle. So just beware, the Democrats will stop at nothing to deprive us of our democracy. All right, so that's it for this episode. I know when I'm doing this about once a week, you know, and especially after taking a couple of weeks off because of things that have gone on in my life, you know, that have just kept me busy and swamped. I know the episodes get long, and I appreciate you making it all the way to the end and being a dedicated listener. All right, thank you so much. I will try to be back again with another episode soon and keep it on a weekly basis. Thank you, and I'll be back with another show, hopefully soon.